Hi, I'm Femi OK. Today on the stream, one of my favourite episodes from the entire year, and that is, how has faith helped you to navigate 2022? You can tell us, you can put your examples on YouTube, you can be part of today's show as we bring together a panel of interfaith leaders from Hinduism, from Christianity, from Judaism, whatever your faith tradition is, don't be shy. You can join this conversation as well as we delve into how faith strengthens us and helps us get through the year. Hello to Sunita, to Sister Rosemary, and Rabbi Mark. Great to have you all here. Sunita, please say hello. Greet our viewers from around the world.
Namaste, shalom, salam, hello. Very wonderful to be with all of you today.
Good to have you. Sister Rosemary, hello, welcome back. Nice to see you.
Afayomadek. Thank you so much for receiving me here. And I'm so happy to interact with my fellow panelists. Thank you.
Sister Rosemary, remind our audience what you do in Uganda. Go ahead.
I work in northern Uganda, and I've been there for more than 20 years, working with the children and women, especially the most vulnerable. And my work started becoming more intense during the time of the Lord's Resistance Army, where a lot of women were abducted, taken to captivity, and on return, they didn't know what to do. I took this up as a challenge, first of all, on my side, to give life, to give hope to these women by working with them, giving them some skills training, but above all, by being more of a mother to them.
Sure. All right. And Rabbi Mark, good to have you here. Nice to have you back on the stream. Remind our audience who you are and what you do.
Thank you very much, Femi. My name is Rabbi Mark Asher Goodman. I'm in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, in Erie, Pennsylvania, and I serve two congregations, a large one and a small one. It's an incredible honor to be on the stream with Sunita and Sister Rosemary, two human rights champions who I admire the work that they do so much.
Rabbi, I'm just thinking about where we are in terms of our global pandemic. And it took us a little while to work out, how do we worship? How do we get together when we can't physically get together? But now that we've worked that out and people are coming back together again, how do you get people to come back to synagogue?
Boy, that is a great question. And if you solve it, you could be on our board of directors and
snacks.
Be very helpful to us.
Snacks. I recommend snacks.
Absolutely. We call it kiddush. It's the snack that comes at the end of services. Yeah. A good kiddush will always turn people out. One of the challenges during the pandemic was that most North American synagogues, churches, a lot of different religious faith organizations went to Zoom or Skype or YouTube or Facebook services. And so everything was done digitally and on video. And then as we came back in person, particularly those communities that could technologically and financially afford it, went to a hybrid model, which meant, and I do this every morning and every evening when I'm leading services here in Pittsburgh, I have 8, 6, 10 people online and another 10, 20 people in the room. And on Saturday, those numbers are, you know, quintupled, tenfold and so on. And trying to bridge those two groups is very difficult. And trying to be respectful of people who are online, who may have illnesses or physical inabilities so that they can't come in person to our congregation, while recognizing the people in the room and being appreciative of them driving in, walking in, showing up in person, it's always a real challenge, and trying to honor both those groups is a big part of the work we're doing, and it's important to create spiritual space for both of them.
Do you think you might have lost part of the community that was coming to synagogue regularly? Do you think COVID has, you've lost them and they won't come back ever?
You know, I represent an advocacy organization rather than a congregation. It's Hindus for Human Rights. We're 3 years old. And over the course of the pandemic, we were doing a lot of our work online, on Zoom, and other platforms. And just lately, in the last 6 months or so, we've been doing these hybrid events. And it's been wonderful to connect with people all across the world, including frontline activists in India, who are sometimes in sensitive areas where it's dangerous for them to participate. Mm. But they can join by Zoom. And now many more people are coming together in person. And so the hybrid is really working for us. And in terms of Hindu temples, I've been to temple a number of times in this 2022. And they are packed. And people, the Hindu community is out to worship. And that is really wonderful to see after a couple of years where we couldn't do that.
All right. Sister Rosemary, I am just thinking about how your year was. And for Uganda, it's been an incredibly challenging year. There are always big stories that we have to navigate with our faith and then work out how we're going to manage it. And so Uganda, we had COVID followed by Ebola. I'm just going to remind our audience what that situation looked like for Uganda. Let's take a look.
At first, people thought it was a joke. But after hearing of the deaths and after seeing bodies, they were very wary, and they have started protecting themselves. We don't have as many naysayers as we used to have, because people are very scared.
When I was sick, at one point I felt like I'm actually going to die. But then I bargained with God. I'm like, God, give me a second chance. But if I go back, I'm not coming back to Mubende. I'm going home. I'm not coming back.
Sister Rosemary, what I hear there is fear and faith in the same place. How do you do that? How do you help people where they're terrified?
The year 2022 has been the most challenging year in that a lot of people developed fear, anxiety, and that desire to come together. But with COVID, everybody had to be somewhere just by themselves. When I hear about my panelists discussing about hybrid and how important it is not the same with us. We do not have access to hybrid for all our Christians. We have to pay for internet, and our people are struggling with poverty. They can't even pay for internet. So what we are struggling is extreme poverty. I should say 2022 brought everybody on their knees. And for us, it has been the most difficult experience, starting from COVID and now moving to Ebola. You can see we love being together. We love sharing our faith. But because of all these calamities which happened, we had to be apart. So that has been the most difficult thing for Uganda until today. A lot of people are struggling with poverty, extreme poverty, I should say, and everything.
How do you... Yes, Sinisa, you go first. You go first. I'll go second.
I'm remembering how in the early days of COVID, we saw the head of the World Health Organization just weeping on TV about how nations are not coming together to work together towards vaccine equity. And my own home country, India, during the second wave of COVID, I mean, we will never forget those images of how a lockdown was announced with just a few hours. And it would be enforced by the law. And the poorest people in India were the migrant workers. And they had, you've probably all seen the images of thousands upon thousands of migrant workers walking on highways, walking from village to village to town to get home. Because when the lockdown happened and the richer people in India were asked to bang utensils on their balconies, the vast majority of the people in India don't have a balcony. And so that idea of vaccine equity and who was most impacted by the brunt of this vaccine, I pray that we have learned that lesson for the next time such a calamity befalls us.
So I'm really curious about, because we are 2 years into our pandemic at least, I'm really curious about how, as a faith leader, you support your community when they are truly suffering. Sister Rosemary, you start.
Supporting the community when they're truly suffering is by being with them, sharing everything, putting our shoes, putting the same shoes they're putting on, feeling the water they feel. And that means being together and working together and encouraging them. Yeah. Because we know it is all about faith that leads us to understand that even the most difficult situation can be overcome one day or another. And that is the greatest faith I can see in poor people, in suffering people, that they need to come together And they all share the faith that the most difficult situation can still be overcome.
But do you know, Sister Rosemary, it's not just about faith. It's practical. It's doing stuff, yeah. Right, Rabbi yeah. Mark? And Sister Rosemary is yeah. always in the community helping. Rabbi Mark, you've been doing the same, because certainly at this, at where we are with COVID right now, the economic crisis as well, there are lots of people who are need help, need donations, etc. Go ahead.
Sure. During the pandemic, one of the things that I did, because it was hard to do, was try and find ways of just communicating with folks who were sick. So we had, at one point at the beginning of the pandemic, we had three staff members and three congregants in the hospital with COVID all at the same time. And two of them were on a ventilator at the same time. And everyone survived, which was something of a miracle. Mm-hmm. But just being able to go around to members of the community, you know, dropping off a card, getting everyone to sign it, and then bringing it to the hospital, knowing that we couldn't get into their room, but we could express to them that we love them, that we were thinking about them, letting them know that we'd added their name to our prayer for healing that we say every single day and on the Sabbath, was a big thing that we did. When we got out of the pandemic, one of the things that started to evolve was this understanding that in America, we have this very robust, great healthcare system that almost everybody has access to, but there are huge gaps in the system, and it means that some people can't get all of the things that they need from the medical system. So maybe you're able to get a walker, but you're not also able in the same calendar year or two-year period, because of the way our system works, to also get a wheelchair. And so we started collecting walkers and wheelchairs and mobility devices as a congregation, and then delivering them to individuals. And it's nothing fancy. It's nothing complicated. It's a closet here and a basement there and a dozen devices here. And I just pick up the phone and say, hey, can you go down the street to Mr. So-and-so? He's in apartment 203, and deliver him the wheelchair with the green handrests, because that's about the size that he needs and that's the type that he needs. And it would really help him to get to the market every day. And that is, by the way, one last thing for this panel of folks who are interreligious, interdenominational faith folks of all different creeds and backgrounds. We don't care what religion you are when you ask for a wheelchair. We just need to get the wheelchair to you as quick as we can.
On YouTube, we've got questions. Let me just put the questions to you, because it's not often that we get three faith traditions all together. So I'm going to put the questions to you so that they can have access to your amazing, amazing knowledge. So Curzon Mill says, will faith help the climate? Ooh, that is such a good question. I'm going to show you some scenes from India from earlier this year, one of the parts of the world which was severely hit by the climate crisis and climate change. And then I'm going to bounce off that and talk to Sunita and then Rabbi Mark, about climate change and faith and how do you address it. Let's look at India first of all.
Working in the severe heat can have a dangerous impact on health. But some people have no choice. At most risk are millions of casual workers toiling in the streets as sweepers, hawkers, or rickshaw drivers like Bablu Kumar. Bablu migrated to Delhi 20 years ago to earn a living. But he finds the work harder than ever.
इतनी गर्मी नहीं पड़ती पर जितनी गर्मी आज है इतनी गर्मी मैंने अभी तक लाइफ में बता रहा हूं इतनी गर्मी मैंने झेला नहीं है.
Due to the searing temperatures, Bablu is forced to take more breaks than usual, and that costs him money.
Sunita, this year in particular, I think we've been very acutely aware of the climate crisis, just because we're seeing how our climate is changing quite dramatically around the world. What is the faith angle from a Hindu perspective?
When we see images like this, what is immediately apparent is the economic disparity right there, somebody like Bablu. But the other part that we should be very aware of is the caste disparity. So it's a double whammy when somebody is of a lower caste or a minority religion in India, as well as poor. And Hindus for Human Rights is working diligently on really representing, embodying the best, most inclusive, most pluralistic, most love-centered version of our faith, of Hinduism. Because really what has entrenched the Hindu community is an ideology, a political ideology that really is diametrically opposite Hindu nationalism. Sure. And when you think of the planet, for Hindus, every part of the universe, every stream, every river, every mountain, every pebble is divine. God is in you and me, no matter who you are. And so protecting the planet and being there for each other, no matter you know, who the other person is core to Hinduism. Sure. So it should be, you know, the first order of practicing our faith to be there for each other and the planet. But the real problem is that Hindu nationalism, which is the ideology that is entrenched in the community, but also that is in power in India, is in bed with the huge corporations of the world. The five largest polluters of the world are in India. Five of the largest polluters of the world are in India. And those five corporations are also backers of Hindu nationalism.
Let me get a perspective.
If we are able to dethrone King Kol, we dethrone Hindu nationalism.
Oh, all right, I've got to get a perspective from Rabbi Mark. Rabbi Mark, tell us where you are geographically situated and why talking about the climate crisis is incredibly tricky for you.
So Sunita said a great thing talking about the polluters in India and how religious people who are Hindu understand that it needs to be done as a community action. It needs to be done collectively and brought together. I'm in Pittsburgh and in Erie, which are the industrial rust belt of the United States of America. And the steel industry was built in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The Monongahela Valley is full of steel mills and coke works and coal producers. And it's the end terminus line of West Virginia coal. There's huge pollution problems historically in this area that are still being cleaned up to this day. And that means that politically and based on the economics of the community, a lot of people who grew up here, who've lived here for generations, they made their money on coal, they made their money on steel, they made their money on heavy industry. And convincing those folks, no, we need to go green, we need to shift, is very, very difficult. But I think Sunita said it really, really well, and I want to bring it from my faith tradition. In the Psalms, it says, Adonai ha'aretz umlo'ah. God's is the world and all that is in it. So for people of faith, we have to remember that the world does not belong to us. The earth does not belong to us. We don't dig coal out of the ground to burn it with no repercussions. We need to remember that all these things belong to God, and the earth belongs to God, and the earth belongs to our fellow community members, and therefore we need to keep it clean, keep it pristine, keep it good for the generations to come.
Sister Rosemary, I have to share with you a headline that really leapt out at the team as we were talking about how faith strengthens us through a year. Have a look at this Gallup poll. Belief in God in the United States dips to an 81%, a new low. That is a big dip. You can see here from the 1940s to where we are here in the early 2020s that fewer people now believe in God. When you see that dip, what does that mean to you from Uganda?
It's just not a thing I can compare with what is going on in Africa as a whole and not only Uganda. Yeah. In the most difficult times, people in Africa come closer to God because we share that faith, we strengthen one another, and we know that we cannot overcome our own sufferings and pain. We need God in our life. And unfortunately, the people who go out of faith are normally the affluent society, and we are not really that affluent society. And it doesn't mean that we are going to God because we are poor. We are going to God because we trust Him. We know that He is above us. We know that He is our creator. And I think that is what everybody needs to cultivate. Even why is faith going down? We need to look We need to find the root cause of the problem, even in America or elsewhere in the world. If faith is going down, there must be a reason. If people are not believing anymore in God, there must be a reason. Let's dig the root and find out.
Rabbi smiling. Go ahead, Rabbi, then Sunita.
It is really hard to figure out why Americans are becoming less faithful. I think Sister Rosemary has a lot to say that I agree with. It is easier to believe in God when you need God than when you are affluent, when you are wealthy, when you have a nice car and a nice house and everything is going really easy. You don't need to cry out so much to God. That being said, everybody, even the affluent, even the wealthy, even the comfortable, suffer and have difficulties in their lives. And one of the reasons that I think Americans are getting away from God is that they are disillusioned with the institutions that have been promoting God for a very long time. Right. The big churches, the big synagogues, the big orders, the big organizations have really been off-putting for a variety of scandals and difficulties for hoarding wealth as opposed to sharing it with communities. And the last thing I'll say is this, theologically, they've been off-putting sometimes too by promoting a version of God that was not speaking to the people. And one thing that I say to folks, and I said it to a woman last night at synagogue on Saturday at synagogue, who said that she was an atheist, she didn't believe in God, but she was there for a bar mitzvah anyways, was I told her, you know, the God that you don't believe in, I probably don't believe in that God either, right? It's when you have an overly simplistic, you know, old man in a chair sending down lightning bolts vision of God, a lot of people find that off-putting, but I don't really think that that's actually what we are talking about as theologians, as religious people, as faith leaders, when we're talking about God.
All right, so the rabbi is sometimes known as the soccer rabbi. I should call him the football rabbi, really, but we all know what he's talking about. Have a look here on my laptop. It's something I'm just going to look at very, very quickly because it impacts a lot of different faiths right now, division. So Jewish Twitter is in full-on panic mode because a famous asshat is spewing hate on the daily. Okay. Jewish conservatives condemn Trump for meeting anti-Semite Nick Fuentes. So that is anti-Semitism in the US raising its ugly head even more than it has done in the past. And then we go across to the Hindu tradition, religious polarization in India seeping into the US diaspora. But I want to share some more positive pictures and images. Muslims, Dalits for Black Lives. There is a way, we found the way to come together. And the Day of Atonement, I have to show you this beautiful picture of here with Mark and part of his synagogue here all celebrating. I want to end on a positive note with your prayers, your hopes for 2023. Sister Rosemary, this is going to be a one-line prayer. What is it?
My hope in 2023 is that humanity will embrace God and see his image in everyone. Because if you begin to say, I don't like God, it's like you are saying, I don't like my neighbor. I don't love my neighbor. Because okay. God has created everybody in his image.
All right. Wonderful. Sunita, your one-line prayer is what?
The best way to resist extremism of all stripes is to cling together and refuse to be divided from each other. And so I want to, my prayer is that we cling together and refuse to be divided.
Rabbi, what is your prayer for 2023?
That's beautiful. I would say a little bit of me and a little bit of my grandmother. My grandmother would say a happy and a healthy new year to you all. And I would say a happy and a healthy new year of justice, of freedom, of mercy, and of love.
Rabbi, you inspired our closing pictures, which is people really embracing public prayer because we have a World Cup going on right now. Let's show those pictures where people are very unabashedly saying, please, please, can my team win? My prayer wasn't answered. England is out. But I love the fact that we are celebrating our prayer and our faith out in the open, even if it's soccer or football that's helping us do that. I wish you a very wonderful 2022.